Now, let me set this up with this principle here before we get moving. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, Romans 10, verse 13. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Hallelujah.
That's easy, right? You call on the name of the Lord, He saves you. He's a strong tower. He will save you. And that word saved would mean also, because it's the word sozo, it would mean save, heal, deliver, make whole. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be made whole, shall be fixed. Then back up to verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, we're familiar with this. We believe this in our heart, that God raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we are saved. How'd you get saved? You believed it in your heart, and you confessed Jesus with your mouth, and you were saved, and you could be healed and delivered, because it's the same Greek word. Saved, healed, delivered, if you believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. Verse 8, what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So this whole principle of you being able to get saved just by believing and speaking without having to go through church formalities, like you don't have to go through our church membership class to get saved.
Right.
You don't have to go through 13 years of steps to get saved.
That's right.
You don't have to get approved by the board of the church to get saved.
Amen.
You don't have to be polished on the outside to get saved. Yeah. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand. You don't have to follow the denominational creed to get saved. You just have to believe in your heart in Jesus Christ. Amen. Son of God, rose from the dead, died for your sins, rose from the dead, and you confess Him as Lord. That means you willingly allow Him to be your Lord. That's all you got to do to get saved, and you're saved. Amen. Now you can learn how to act, learn how to look. Now you can get polished. Now you can get sanctified. But you got saved by believing in Jesus and saying something out of your mouth. Something like, Jesus, be my Lord. Save me. Forgive me. Come into my life. Something. You had to say something with your mouth to get saved.
Right.
And then verse 8, the word is near you in your mouth. What word? The word of salvation. What word? The word of miracles. What word? The delivering, powerful word of God. Where is it? Well, it's not way off in heaven. It's real close to you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Or the message of, some Bible say message of faith, word of faith. La palabra, if you're, the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith is that the word is in your heart, in your mouth, and if you believe it and say it, a miracle will happen. So salvation happened by this word of faith principle. You understand? The word of faith that we preach brings salvation by faith alone. The word of faith is not a denomination. It's a principle. It's a simple Bible principle. Really, it's the foundational Bible principle of Christianity. Word of faith is Christianity's pivot, foundation, truth. It's what starts all of Christianity. Word of faith starts all Christianity. Nobody gets saved without the word of faith. By believing in your heart and saying it with your mouth. That is the word of faith that we preach. That is a principle. It's not a denomination. So we like to mention that if salvation, the greatest miracle of all, happened because you believed something and said something, then every other miracle could happen the same way. All lesser miracles could happen the same way. You believe something and then you confess something. And so we have to start really putting some weight on what we believe and what we say. Because miracles happen from our heart and our mouth. Our heart and our mouth. Our heart and our mouth. Miracles happen from our heart and our mouth. You understand? You can change every situation in your life by what you believe and what you say, and what you believe and what you say, because the miracle is right here and right here. Remember John Osteen's lesson? He's got a little book. There's a miracle in your mouth. There's a miracle in your mouth. We think miracles are like drummed up from the sky. They're not. They're in your heart and then you're in your mouth. There's a miracle right there in your mouth if you'd open it. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Why is that so important to know? Because there's a miracle in there. And if you'll say the right thing, it'll happen. If you'll say God's word, it'll start happening for you. If you'll recreate the atmosphere of your life with God's word by believing it in your heart and saying it with your mouth, it'll happen. If you only believe it in your heart, it won't work. You can't silently and secretly believe things and expect them to happen. You have to believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth for it to happen.
Amen.
And so you do have to get verbal and vocal about things so that it starts to reformulate in your mind and in your heart, because out of the heart flow the issues of life.
Right.
Until you can begin to say things where the kingdom of God takes shape in your own soul, it won't work for you. You can't just barely say a few things that you hardly believe and expect them to work.
Okay.
Well, I tried to confess a couple scriptures, but nothing seemed to happen, so I gave it up. Yeah, it sounds like you gave up way too soon. Like you didn't even go far enough to start believing it in your heart. You barely confessed it because somebody told you to. So we're going to have to put some word on it. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 34. This will help us get started. Some of you need some WD-40 on your mouth. You can't worry your way into miracles. You have to speak your way into them. And part of this is being led by the Holy Spirit, where you hear from Him if there's instruction He wants to give you. Maybe a scripture He wants you to see. Maybe an action He wants you to take. You know, it could be anything from turn to the Bible here and say this out loud, or all the way to make sure you forgive your great aunt who you harbored ear feet. You know, it could be something like that where it's an instruction that you need to make an adjustment in your heart. But so the Holy Spirit's important, but right now, let's just go kind of allow Him to refresh us with truth that can work for anybody anytime.
Amen.
Truth that can work for anybody anytime. Like, don't start off with the question of, Holy Spirit, what's going on? What's wrong? What do I do? Don't start with looking to the invisible Holy Spirit. Start with going to where you know.
Amen.
Start with the Word of God. Go to the foundation of what you already know to be true. Put that into practice.
Oh, amen.
And if He needs to tell you something new, He can do that after.
Yeah.
A lot of times your answer is already just right there in the Word. It's already with something you've already heard, already read. It's already there. You're just not doing it. So go do what you know to do before you start looking for something new. Sometimes we worry so deeply, like, oh, I'm so lost and confused. Why is this happening? Well, because you hadn't even gone and done the stuff you know to do.
Right.
Psalm 34, verse 2. Verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
Right.
Well, that could solve some of your problem right there. You've been frustrated and grumbling and complaining way more than you've been praising. That settles it. But verse 2, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord.
Woo! Glory!
You're going to have to start boasting about God.
Hallelujah.
We need to always boast about what God has said, what God has done, what God will do, who we are in Christ, all the great promises of God.
Wow.
It'll enlarge your heart. It'll help you believe if your soul can boast in the Lord. Verse 4, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me. All right, so let's practice this. We see the truth here. Let's practice it. Say it out loud. Say,
I sought the Lord
and He heard me
and He delivered me.
So I'm delivered. Let's try the other one. Soul, now talk to your soul. Soul,
boast in God.
My God's real big.
My God's real big.
He takes care of everything.
He takes
I have nothing to fear.
I have nothing to fear.
So I'm not fearing.
So I'm not fearing.
I'm not afraid.
I'm not afraid.
I said I'm not afraid. Verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Here we get together. We're going to boast in God together. Hallelujah. He's my fortress. He's my refuge. Under his wings shall I abide. And therefore, I'm not afraid of anything. Ever.
Even tonight,
I'm not afraid.
I'm afraid.
Go back to Psalm 16. See how it feels? Listen, how long have we been? I've only been talking about 10 minutes. See how it feels? See how faith can rise so quickly? You don't need more faith. You need to use what you got. You don't need more muscle. You need to use what you got. You don't need more magic muscle. You just need to start flexing. You know, even an 11-year-old boy can show you his muscles. 11-year-old boy thinks they're tough. They get a little muscle. Look. It ain't much, but it can do something. He can help carry a couch. Look, you don't need to be a bodybuilder to have great faith. You just need to use it. Psalm 16, verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. So God's right there with you. You shall not be moved, right?
Right.
Are you moved by anything? Are you moved into fear or anxiety or stress by anything? Okay, then say it. Say, I shall not be moved. I'm not moved by anything. I'm not moved or pressured or scared. Because God's right here with me. Verse 9, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. We might do some glory stuff in a moment, but you have some glory. He's crowned you with glory. We need to confess some things about the glory so you can have faith in it, can recognize you got some glory. People always wanting to put all the glory off on God. He's trying to give you some. You're putting it all off on him, and that's fine. Just make sure you receive yours. Because we got some of his glory. He gave it to us. My flesh also will rest in hope. Verse 9, my flesh also will rest in hope. I didn't hear any cheering about that because listen, a lot of people don't understand how to rest in hope. Hope is a very powerful thing. Hope is a necessary thing if you want a miracle to happen. Hope is not just wishing and wanting. Hope is an expected desire. Not just a flip of a coin, well, I sure hope so. Not just a natural hope says, well, I don't know, you know, I sure hope so. Well, are you going to get the thing? Well, I don't know. I sure hope so. That's not Bible hope. That's not godly hope. Real hope has an expectation. Expects it to come to pass because of God. My soul will rest in hope. My soul hopes in God.
Hallelujah.
Hope is a very misunderstood thing. You need hope and you need faith. Faith is the confidence that your hope can come to pass. But my hope is the end. My hope is the desired end. My hope is the, it actually means an eager longing with an outstretched neck. Like I'm really expecting this to come to pass. I'm really expecting this promise from God to happen. Rather than feebly, you know, bowing down to the hopelessness. Hopelessness is a life killer. So you need to recognize the value of hope. You know, that's why the New Testament says, now abides faith, hope, and love. It's a strange way to say it, that those three abide now. The greatest is love, but faith and hope are necessary. One thing that you need to recognize is in the Old Testament, there was not a whole lot of hope. Matter of fact, you don't even see the word hope show up until the book of Ruth. And then you don't see it used until David. David was the first Old Testament fella to really understand hope. But in the New Testament, hope, 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 hope. Because we have eternal hope now.
Glory.
Because of the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross, we have hope.
Hallelujah.
For today and eternity. Same thing with faith. You don't see the masses having faith. Individuals in the Old Testament didn't have faith. That's why the New Testament says before faith came, we were shut up under the law. But now that faith has come, we're no longer under the law. Now, there's a whole bunch of people. Well, we could say there's a countable number of people that had faith in the Old Testament. They're recorded. But for the masses, it didn't exist. Only a few would stand up. Only a few God would see and honor because they didn't have faith and they didn't have hope and they didn't have love. The agape love did not exist in the Old Testament. Agape love for the human did not exist until the Holy Spirit shed the love of God abroad in our heart, Romans 5:5. So until the New Testament, there was no love of God. And so there was no hope, no faith, no love. But I want to confess our hope is in God.
Yes.
Matter of fact, over in Job, the book of Job, you see no hope. And I had no hope, and there's no hope, and my hope was futile, and my hope fainted. And then you get to the Psalms, and you see some hope, praise the Lord. Look at 31, Psalm 31. You need hope if you're going to make it through this life. Every child needs hope. Every teenager needs hope. Every adult needs hope. Okay? And this the reason for depression and all sorts of mental disorders is because of lack of hope, lack of hope. Hopelessness has caused, you know, the pandemic caused all sorts of lack of hopelessness in teenagers. When you're a child and a teenager, you should have this expectation of, wow, life is coming. I'm getting there. I'm going to become an adult. I am growing up and I am going to win in this life and I'm going to do things. I am going to get to see. I'm going to get to experience. I'm going to fulfill the call of God in my life. Every child, every teenager needs to feel that way. So we adults help that happen. No matter what, we have to make sure our children feel this sense of, oh, there's coming a great day. Tomorrow's a better day. Tomorrow's a great day. There's a great plan for you. Oh, we can't wait to see what happens in your life. It's going to be so marvelous.
Yeah. Right.
But then the world government shuts down everything. It says, oh, no. That takes away hope.
Wow.
And that's why huge mental problems with teenagers since the pandemic. Suicide rate, hopelessness, depression. Huge problem when you take away a child's hope. Scare them out of, hey, if there was a real war, the young step up and say, I'll fight. The pandemic was just the opposite. Go home. Kids felt that, and it's harming people. I think it's harmed adults as well. It's disrupted our confidence that things could work out. If we'll hold fast, everything is going to be fine.
Amen.
Faith people have to keep this thing afloat. Hope is necessary for a solid life. Okay, Psalm 31, verse 24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All you who hope in the Lord.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Come on, say it out loud. Say, I hope in the Lord. He'll strengthen my heart. I have good courage. I'm not afraid. That settles it. I'm not afraid. Come on, you don't have to be afraid of any of your troubles. Don't even be afraid of what might happen to people you know. Don't be afraid for what might happen to family or friends. Don't be afraid of that. No, hope in God. Hope in God. Cast your care. Well, I care about my kids. I know, cast them to the Lord. He cares for you. Psalm 42, verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Let's say it out loud. Say, soul. Why are you cast down?
Why are you disquieted?
Hope in God.
I'll yet praise him
for the help of his countenance. Soul, you get up. Quit acting like that. Soul, there's hope for you. God's got my future in his hand. Everything's okay. Everything is okay. So you just wake up. Quit being so sad. I'm done with it. Amen. Come on, you speak to yourself. You tell yourself to get out of bed. You tell yourself to get out off the couch. You tell yourself to go to work happy. Good things are about to happen at work. Or you can say it this way. Lots of complex troubles are happening at work, but good things are going to come out of it.
Amen.
I'm going to solve every one of them.
Amen.
Get up and say, there's lots of difficult people at work. Glory to God, I'm going to go bless them.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Let's practice that. Say, there's lots of difficult people tomorrow at work, but I'm going to go bless them and love them and help them through it. And say this, and my spouse doesn't want to hear about the difficulty when I get home. Listen, you believe something, you need to say something.
Amen.
You know that you're not supposed to be disquieted within you. You're not supposed to be sorrowful. You're not supposed to be anxious. You're not supposed to be worried. You're not supposed to be grumbling your way through the day. You know better.
Amen.
Tell yourself that. Remind yourself of that. Yeah, but I feel like it. But I feel like grumbling. Yeah, that's because you didn't say anything. You know, your feelings have power, but your words have more power.
Amen.
And really, the only thing that can overcome your feelings and emotions is your words.
Amen.
And we can say, and your actions.
Say it, yep.
So don't live by your emotions and your feelings.
Come on.
Because they'll get convinced of something and ruin your life. People's emotions and feelings get convinced of the sadness and hopelessness and desperation that they're under. The situation, their flesh and their mind get convinced. And if their spirit doesn't rise up, make their mouth talk right, they'll live depressed the rest of their life. It'll just steal every bit that they've got, every bit of hope that they've got. So this is not, you don't get an accidental, you know, successful life.
Amen.
Success is not an accident. Well, they told me when I became a Christian that everything would be perfect. Well, the right way to say it is, if you become a Christian, you have potential to overcome every single thing in life. But it's not automatic. And it certainly doesn't mean become a Christian, all your troubles go away. No, you become a Christian, you recognize how much trouble there is. Before, you were just, you know, floundering around under the turmoil. You know, totally beat up. You didn't even know you were bloody. It's like getting beat up. You don't even know you're beat up. Then you get saved. You're like, wow, I'm kind of beat up. The devil had you before you were saved. You're just recognizing it. People say, well, I received the Lord and all hell broke loose. No, that's not what happened. No, all hell had you shackled, and then you got saved and recognized, man, what a terrible life. Psalm 119, we'll do another one. Well, I started going to church and boy, all hell broke loose. All the tires popped. All the kids went a little nutty. Well, the problem is you're going to have to whip the devil and start a new habit. You know, anytime you start a new habit, something breaks loose. I mean, every time you start a new habit, somebody somewhere doesn't like it. Our flesh likes to remain in the vein that it's in. If you're sitting on the couch, it doesn't want to get up. If you're in bed, it doesn't want to get up. If you're eating, it doesn't want to stop. Your flesh likes to do what it's doing. You've created a system for your flesh, or we can say it created a system for you to live by. And when you start trying to do something right, be diligent, all of a sudden your flesh doesn't really like it. So you're supposed to break that out of the kids while they're young. Amen. 119:49, remember the word to your servant. Now this is David talking to God. Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. You can go to God and remind him of a scripture. You have caused me to hope, and my hope shall not make me ashamed. That's why David said in another place, he said, I have set my face like a flint, like a rock. I have set my face, and I'm not moving. I've set it like a flint, like a rock, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. You have a hope, you keep heading towards it. You have a desire to be healed by God, don't you budge from that. You have a desire to be successful in the thing that you're endeavoring to do. You stick to it.
Right.
Set my face like a rock. Nothing's going to move me. Joni and I practiced that when we started the church. We had to set our face and not look at anything except the Bible. Amen. We just kept preaching the word of God with all of our heart, kept ministering with all of our heart, just kept our face looking at the future. Right. It's the only way to make it. Verse 81, my soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word.
Hallelujah.
You know, there's an aspect of your mind that starts to faint, but your hope anchors you. The Bible says our hope anchors our soul. Our hope anchors our soul. You have to have a destination that anchors you. You know, Peter was walking on water. He was looking at Jesus, standing firm. And then he got his eyes off of his hope, and he sank. Psalm, verse 114. You're my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Let's say it out loud. Say, God,
you're my hiding place.
You're my shield.
And I hope in your word.
I hope in these scriptures. I have great hope in your word.
I know what you've said.
I'm expecting it for me. Oh, thanks so much, God.
I hope in your word.
And I am not afraid. Say that every day until your situation changes. Decide that the word of God is going to bring you through. I'll quote you some from the New Testament. Romans 5:2 says, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Say this out loud. Say, I hope in the glory of God.
I hope in the glory of God.
I'm expecting the glory of God tomorrow.
And I rejoice
in hope of it.
I rejoice
that tomorrow has the glory of God in it. Come on, every day that you experience God is going to be wonderful. Every day that you get to touch the glory of God is a wonderful day. So you got to rejoice in the hope of that. I hope to see the glory tomorrow. Say it, I hope to see the glory tomorrow.
And Friday,
Saturday and Sunday.
I hope to see the glory in church.
And I rejoice about it.
Thanks, God.
I'm excited about it.
My life has meaning.
And I get to see God's glory. Hallelujah. Romans 12 says that we are rejoicing in hope. Rejoicing in hope. See, once you have a expectation, you're excited about it. You're rejoicing about it. Once you know something that's coming, expecting something to come, you're rejoicing about it. Do you know heaven? You know heaven's on its way. You know Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
Right? Are you rejoicing about that? You excited about Jesus coming back?
Right.
You excited about Jesus coming back, interrupting your current life?
Yes.
We rejoice about that. You excited about going to heaven?
Yes.
That's a hope we have of heaven.
Yes.
It's going to be marvelous. We should rejoice about it. That's what we do. We come to church. We're always rejoicing about the eternal hope that we have.
Amen.
You can pick anything that you're rejoicing about. Listen, you're going to eat a good comfort food meal on Saturday. You got plans to go to lunch after church on Sunday. You think about it, it's like, whoo. I know some of you are like, whoo, I can't wait for church to be over. We're going to lunch. Can't wait for the party after church. That's a hope. That's a simple thing, but that's a hope that you have. And your heart goes, whoo. And you smile a little bit thinking about the queso. We were in the Philippines for 2 weeks. We've been in the 10 days. We've been in the Philippines, and every once in a while, I might think about Mexican food and queso, chips and queso.
They had some.
And my hope. I know it's coming. I know it's coming. I can feel it coming, and it's exciting.
Thank you, Jesus. Quickly.
While I was there, I even found some hope in rice. I like rice. Grew up eating rice almost every meal. And they eat rice more than every meal in the Philippines. And so I got started looking forward. Oh, that's some more rice. Some more rice. Great. Glory. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. See, these are aspects of faith, power, glory, that the God of hope will fill you with joy and peace in believing. See, if you're believing God, you'll have joy and peace. Your hope will be cranked up. God will have something to work with. And if you don't have hope, he doesn't have anything to work with. Some people believe God can do anything, right? You have faith that with God, all things are possible, right? With God, all things are possible.
Right.
We have confidence in that. I mean, if I stared you down and said, you don't believe that, you would say, I do believe it. You'd fight me tooth and nail because you do believe all things are possible with God.
Yes.
So you have faith. But sometimes you don't have hope. Like you don't have a real confident expectation that he will heal you. Why? Because you haven't found one of his promises and said, I'm going to hope in this word. But anybody that does find a healing promise and says, I'm going to hope in this, not just wish, you know, futilely, but I'm going to hope in this. This is what I'm getting. Then all things are possible with God, and all things are possible to him who believes.
Right.
Sometimes the problem is that we don't have our desire expressed. We don't know what we want. We don't know what we're expecting. Well, I'm expecting deliverance. I'm expecting total healing. I'm expecting to be totally well. I'm expecting God's power to zap this thing and be done. And I'm walking away from it. That's why we say when you come up to get prayed for, don't come for prayer. We should change the terminology. You come up to get healed. Anybody want to come up to get healed? Come on. Anybody want to come up to get a miracle? You hear us say that all the time. Come to get your miracle. Come get the thing, not just the means to the thing. I go to the airport not to get a plane. I go to the airport to get to my destination.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Psalm 30, verse 2. We'll skip over to healing it for just a moment. Psalm 32. You know, by the end of your workout at the gym, you're a little tired. But you're there. You might as well do it. Might as well sweat a bit. Psalm 30, verse 1, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. You could change that and say, and have not let the sickness rejoice over me, and have not let the poverty rejoice over me, and have not let my emotions rejoice over me. Nothing's supposed to rejoice. Nothing wrong is supposed to rejoice over you. So if you feel like you've been overtaken by something, it's not supposed to happen.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
So verse 2, oh, Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. Now, he's saying this because God had already healed him. You can also say it in faith because he has already healed us. At the cross, he really took care of our sickness and disease.
Amen.
By whose stripes we're healed. So we're already supposed to be healed. So let's say that like it's true. Let's say that like it's true. Say it out loud. Okay. Say, Lord.
I
cried out to you, and you healed me.
You healed me.
I already cried out. You already healed.
So I'm healed.
So I'm healed.
So I'm healed.
So I'm healed.
That settles it.
I'm leaving it.
I cried out to the Lord,
and he healed me.
Already healed me.
Already healed. Nope, already healed. Not taking it, already healed. Walk away from it. Be done with it. Don't wait for him to do it. No, no, no. He healed me.
He did it.
By his stripes, I am healed. You were healed. Let's read these so that you can see that it's scriptural to say it in past tense. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Oh, well, no, we should probably do Isaiah first. Go to Isaiah 53:5 first. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Isaiah 53, verse 4. This is a prophecy Isaiah saw. He saw the Messiah at the cross. This is one of the few passages where we see Jesus at the cross. What really happened at the cross? It's predicted and then it's fulfilled. Matthew and the Gospels are going to requote this and show it's fulfilled. This was the prediction, Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely, or let's just read a little bit of the passage so you see that it's what it is. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Remember, all the disciples left the cross. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. We looked at him like he was cursed because anyone that hangs on a pole is cursed. We didn't realize that he was carrying our sorrows. We didn't realize that he was boring our griefs, bearing our griefs, carrying our sorrows. Now the word griefs, well, let's just keep reading. And he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, our immoralities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. The chastisement, meaning the correction that we really needed, was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. We are healed. Now, he said it in advance. He said it in advance of the cross. He said, we are healed. And some people say, well, yeah, that was just spiritual sickness. Well, it includes spiritual sickness, but it also included physical sickness and mental sickness.
Right.
So all spiritual and mental and physical is taken care of at the cross. We just need faith in that.
Amen.
Verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs. That word griefs is the Hebrew word koli. And it means calamity, weakness, anguish. No, it means calamity, weakness, sickness, pain, and anxiety. It actually means anxiety as well. So he bore my anxieties. He bore my sicknesses and carried our sorrows, which means anguish, affliction, grief, and pain. To Americans, grief just means I'm grieving over something, but the Hebrew word means all these other words. So he actually took care of everything for us.
Hallelujah. Yes, he did.
And by his stripes we are healed. And that's why we can say, by his stripes I am healed. Go ahead and say it. By his stripes I am healed. He bore my griefs. He bore my anxiety. So I'm not anxious. I said, I'm not anxious.
I said,
He bore it.
So I don't have to.
So I'm not anxious.
He bore my wounds.
So I'm not wounded.
Neither in my body nor my heart.
I'm not wounded.
I'm not hurt.
I'm not hurt. Come on, this is how you receive what Jesus did at the cross. You have to believe it and say it.
Yep.
I'm no longer hurt. You know, people without God walk around saying, I'm just so hurt. They hurt me. I'm just so hurt. They hurt me. I'm just so hurt. They hurt me. I'm just so hurt. Stop it. Once you get saved, no. He took your hurts. He took it away. And if He took it, why do I have it?
Praise the Lord.
Hold that. Give me that, please. This is your hurt. Would you like me to take your hurt? Jesus took your hurt. And He threw it away. And you don't have to have your hurt. And you don't get your water either. He took it away. And that Hebrew word actually means to carry, means to lift up and removed to a distance. He lifted up, carried away, and removed to a distance your sins, your sicknesses, your griefs, your anxieties, and your pains of suffering. And so the way that we receive that promise with our heart, with our mouth. I believe it in my heart. I say it with my mouth. And that's why saying, by His stripes I'm healed, until your heart believes it, causes a miracle.
Amen.
Enough of us have received a miracle by just saying the simple scripture, by stripes I am healed. By stripes I am healed. By stripes I am healed. You might have to say it 1,000 times. Have you ever tried it 1,000 times? Just focus with all your heart and say it for 1,000 times. See what happens. Focus with all your heart against your anxieties and say it 1,000 times. By stripes, I'm not anxious. Say it. By stripes, I'm not worried. By stripes, I'm not stressed. By stripes, I'm not anxious. By stripes, I'm healed. By stripes, I'm healed. By stripes, I'm healed. By stripes, I'm healed. By stripes, I am healed. I am.
I am.
Woo, I am.
I am.
And then go eat dinner. See how you feel after dinner. See if you're still happy about it or if you need to say it a few more times. By stripes, I'm healed. Or if you have anxiety or stress or worry about something, by stripes, I'm not worried. He took them. He took my anxieties and my cares. He took them. He took them. He took them. I don't have them. Say it out loud. Say, He took them.
He took them.
He took all my worries. I refuse to worry.
I refuse it.
I'm free from worry.
Oh,
I don't worry at all.
I never worry.
You need to say that about 2,000 times so you worriers will quit worrying. You take a promise from the Bible and you believe it and you say it and you believe it and you say it. And if you don't say it, you're going to worry. If you can't quote Matthew 6 in times of provisional uncertainty, if you can't quote it from your heart and be cheerful, you're too worried.
Amen.
What's Matthew chapter 6? I'm glad you asked. You should know it.
That's right.
Matthew 6 is basic finance 101 for the Christian. And if you can't get that in your heart and stop worrying, I can't make any promises. Miracles happen. Change happens because we believe it and we say it. Put Matthew 8 up there. 8:16. Matthew 8:16-17. Matthew 8:16-17. (Clears throat)
Notice this, in Jesus' ministry, when the evening came, they brought to him all who were sick and demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. See that? Verse 17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, which Houston Faith Church just read together, saying himself, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. The proof of what Isaiah said happened with physical healing. This is supposed to help those who think it's only spiritual. You can't promise physical healing. Some people believe very deeply in spiritual healing and salvation. This proves that the fulfillment was the healing of the body and the demons coming out. So, I couldn't tell you how many times in my life I've quoted, himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. I quoted that all the way through the pandemic season. Every day. Oh, no, no. Himself took my infirmities, bare my sickness. I'm not taking them. Every day, the Spirit of the Lord that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in me. He that raised up Christ from the dead will also quicken my flesh. Any virus, disease touches me, dies. No effect from any of the thing. Just quoting it, just saying it, just quoting it, just saying it, just quoting it, just saying it. Himself took them. I'm not taking them. Himself took my infirmities, bare my sicknesses. If I know we believe it. If we'll say it, it'll start working. Sickness and disease leaves when we say it.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead and say it out loud. See, himself took my infirmities. Bear my sicknesses. So I don't have them. I said I don't have them. Himself took my infirmities and bear my sicknesses. I said himself took them. He himself took them for me. Thanks, Jesus, for taking them for me. Thanks for taking my sickness away. Thanks for taking my infirmities away. Thanks for making me whole and healed. Glory. Look at 1 Peter. Chapter 2, let's hurry. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. Talking about Jesus on the cross, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he didn't threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Yes, you were healed, forgiven, cleansed. Once your heart is cleansed from sin, it's so easy to get healed. That's why Jesus told the fellow that came through the roof that was paralyzed. He said, your son, your sins are forgiven you. And then rise, take up your bed and go home. Once you know your sins are forgiven, it's so easy to come close to God's Spirit and get your miracle. By whose stripes ye were healed. It's interesting, Peter used the past tense. He didn't say you're going to be healed. He didn't even say, we are healed. Isaiah saw ahead and said, we are. Peter looked back and said, you were. He looked back at the cross and said, by whose stripes you were healed. And this is why Christians can fully expect to stay well. All the way till the end. All the way till the end, till they give up the ghost. You can expect to stay well because he took it. By his stripes you're healed. Sure, all bodies wear out at some point, but you don't have to wear out being beat up by the devil or spirits of infirmity. Let's throw in a couple of these here. Go to Genesis. We're going to throw in some success words. Genesis chapter 39. Genesis 39, verse 2. This is when Joseph got sold into slavery. Genesis 39, verse 1, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, but Joseph was very sad and depressed and complaining. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand.
Hallelujah.
There's a secret in that. If the Lord is with you, then all you do can prosper. So let's say it out loud. So the Lord is with me, and everything I do will prosper.
Since the Lord is with me,
everything I do will prosper. That means I'm going to prosper next week. And next year I'll be more prosperous. I'm going to walk closely with God always. And since the Lord is with me, I'll prosper. I'll always have success and never failure. Verse 23, the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was, he got put in prison unjustly. He did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper.
Yeah.
Walk closely with the Lord and everything you do will prosper. Amen. Believe that and say it. You wake up in the morning and say, the Lord is with me. I'm walking with him and I'll prosper today. Every salesman better say that every day.
Amen.
Come on, if you're a salesman, if you can change your financial income by your performance every week or every day, you should say that every day.
Amen.
Even if you can and you're salaried, I'd say it every day so that the promotion comes to you quicker.
That's right.
You got to build this in your heart though, that no, the Lord's with me, I'm prospering. The Lord's with me, I'm prospering. The Lord, everything I do, say it out loud. Say, the Lord is with me,
and everything I do will prosper.
Look at Joshua 1. This is how you change your household income. This is how you change your church income. This is how you, if enough Christians could get this in the city of Houston, Houston would be very prosperous. If enough Christians could get this in other cities, in other nations, they could change everything. If a whole bunch of Christians would decide that we're prospering. And that's the reason America, you have to understand, America is Bible-based. All these years, America's been Bible-based. It's had more promises of God than any other country. There's a reason. There's a reason why America's blessed. And it's not just because of our capitalistic system, which is a big part of it, but a lot of it has to do with the more and more Christians know their God, the easier it is for God to bless the country. Hallelujah. And it's not because the country itself has a covenant. Countries can't have covenant. Christians have covenant. Because Christians, individuals, begin to believe God. God says, well, since you're trusting me, I'm going to have to make the economy near you work. And since you're believing me, I'm going to have to make the economy near you work. And since you're believing me, I'm going to have to make sure that there's enough blessing around so that you never starve ever. No Christian ever starves anywhere. I mean, if it's a short season of drought and no income and no money and no and terrible economy, then ravens can come feed you for a short season. No Christian ever has to go without food or lights.
Amen.
Or car or gas.
Amen.
The more and more Christians, amen, that believe God, so you have to decide in your soul, nope, I prosper. Look at Joshua 1 here, verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Say it out loud, say, I'm strong and of good courage. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Say, I'm strong and very courageous. That I may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, now we're not under the law anymore, so we just say the word. Do not turn from it, the word, to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Say it out loud, say, I'm not turning from the word. Neither right nor left. I'm not deviating from God's word. And I'll prosper wherever I go. Verse 8, this book of the law, we can say, the word shall not depart out from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Say that out loud. Say, the word
shall not depart out of my mouth,
but I'll keep it before my eyes day and night. And I'll meditate and observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then I'll make my way prosperous, and I'll have good success, because the word doesn't leave my heart and doesn't leave my mouth, and doesn't leave my heart and doesn't leave my mouth. Come on, this is the avenue into the supernatural miracle working power of God. This is how we get God involved in our life. We believe something in our heart and we say something with our mouth. You flex your faith. You have to act upon your faith. You have to first believe it and say it. You might actually have to do something. If it's about earning income, you're going to have to believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth and go to work. Many of these things require some action. You can't just sit on your couch quoting this for 5 years expecting the door to knock and Amazon to deliver you a box of cash. It doesn't work that way. You got to follow other principles. And then God can be involved in there and supernatural increase can occur, but you are going to have to work. Listen, you think that that's silly to have to say in the pulpit. The reason we have to say it in the pulpit because we know a lot of people, or we've heard stories from the old day when people got hold of the truth about prospering, they quit their job and went home confessing scripture on the couch. Unfortunately, flaky people who get saved are still flaky. Loosey-goosey people who get saved are then loosey-goosey saints. There's potential where you could change, but it takes some real renewing of the mind. Your spirit gets saved. You accepted Christ. Praise the Lord. We're all excited for you. But until your brain can think right, you're going to be kind of loosey-goosey. So we don't want you to remain loosey-goosey. We want you to get solid, planted by the rivers of water where you can grow as a tree that's strong, that's immovable. Not just a little pollen that floats around all over the place. Land that seed and get planted. So you are going to have to work if you're going to succeed. And one reason we say that everybody here can have a job is because God expects you to work. How could you work without one? We're not talking about just de-weeding your flower garden out front. We're talking about doing something productive for somebody else, to serve someone else, to provide a good or a service. That's called work. And you need to be doing it 40, 50 hours a week. Some of you, 35. Okay, 35. All right, fine. 35. Praise the Lord. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's say that out loud. Say, the Lord my God is with me wherever I go. So I am not afraid. And I'm not dismayed. He's with me. The Lord is with me. Lord, you're with me. So I'm not afraid. I'm not dismayed. I have strong courage. I'm not afraid of my future. I'm not afraid of my current situation. I know you've got me. For the Lord is my fortress. He's my high tower. Under his wings do I trust. Come on, there's nothing to worry about. If you're really committed to the Lord, if you're with him, nothing to worry about. If we're really with the Lord, he's already taken all of our problems. He's already given us all of his blessings. He has healed us. He has prospered us. He has set us free from worry and anxiety. Cast your care upon the Lord. Another translation says, cast all your anxieties upon the Lord, for he cares for you.
You have to verbally cast your anxieties.
Right.
I do it all the time. No, I'm not going to worry about that. No, I'm not going to worry. No, I refuse to worry about it.
Amen.
Lord, I'm casting it to you. Don't even let me think about him. If I do, Holy Spirit, you get me. You remind me. I'm not worried about that. I'm not going to worry about that. I'm casting it to you. You take care of those people. You take care of that situation. I'm not going to worry, 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 not going to worry.
Amen.
I just refuse it. He took my anxieties. I'm casting them to the Lord. It means I can't be worried.
Amen.
And you know, as soon as God sees somebody let go of their trouble in their own soul, he comes in and helps.
Right.
He comforts you and everything's better.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
Didn't Philippians 4:6 be anxious
for nothing.
Do not be anxious for anything or have any anxiety about anything.
Right.
But in everything, make your request. Let your request be made known to God.
Yes.
Just let your request be made known to God. Just let him, once he hears your request, you can quit thinking about it. Because if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we know we have the positions that we desire from him.
Amen.
In everything, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. And the God of peace will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. With thanksgiving. The reason we can thank him is because we know he's got it. We thank him because we know the truth. So say it out loud. Say, God, I am anxious for nothing. You've already heard my request, and now I refuse to think about it. Instead, I'm just going to thank you for it. Thanks for the answers. Thanks for solving my crisis. Thanks for the power of God in my mind. Thanks for the power of God in my body. Everybody, please stand. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Listen, anxiety in the heart causes, the Bible knew this before modern day disorders were discovered. Anxiety in the heart causes depression. Now, a little bit of stress we're all going to find ourselves in, but if stress gets stuck, if you get stuck in anxiety like an accelerator that's stuck, you're out of control. And that's when, over a long period of time or over a season, people develop mental disorders from stress alone, from anxiety alone, because they did not know how to get their comfort from the Lord. And so you have to recognize anxiety in your life and verbally deal with it in prayer, confessing things out loud, casting cares, applying Bible truth,
right,
so that your brain can handle life.
Amen.
We've seen too many Christians who love Jesus with all their heart, but they don't know how to handle anxiety. And they end up with the same mental disorders.
Yes.
Manic, depressive, stuff like that. It happens because of anxiety unchecked. Well, how come God doesn't help? Look, he's given us all the help we need right here. And he will help people and deliver people if they can connect with him in truth. But before we get to the emergency state, let's use Bible principle. Let's use Bible principle to be strong in the Lord, to stop worrying our way through this life. Worry and anxiety have been around since Jesus' day. Worry and anxiety have been around since Adam and Eve. Soon as sin came in, they got worried. Hid themselves, got scared, hid themselves. Worry and anxiety existed back in horse and buggy day.
Right.
You think, man, life would have been so simple back then. No, it had a bunch of anxiety that you're not even familiar with. They were all worried that they didn't have any air conditioning back then. No, I'm just kidding. They didn't even know they didn't have an air conditioning. Listen, I want us to make sure we're anxiety free the rest of our lives. So if you ever get anxious or stressed out for a season, you should recognize, wait a second, I'm doing something wrong. I'm not doing what's right. I've not been in church enough to be reminded. I've forgotten the truth, but I know I'm not supposed to have this anxiety. Same thing with sickness and disease or pain. I know I'm not supposed to be sick. Something is, I have not focused on the Lord. I've not been close to the Lord lately, or finances. If you're up and down and up and down and empty and full and empty and full, or just empty, You miss something on the prosperity side. You miss something on the success side. If you're walking with the Lord, you'll prosper. So fix the other stuff and you'll prosper.
Amen.
Listen, these things are enemies to us. Poverty's an enemy. Stress and anxiety are enemies. Sickness is an enemy. All these things take away from you being able to serve God with gladness of heart. All these things keep you locked up in your house where you can't go with people. You ever seen a depressed person? They don't want to be around people. The devil uses those things, poverty, anxiety, and sickness to keep you away from people where you can serve God and please Him and please others and bless people. This life is to be lived freely so others can be touched and blessed and loved. So there's motive for this. It's not just for your comfort.
Amen.
These are enemies. Those three things are enemies. So let's look at those enemies. I think we just touched those three. Oh, hopelessness. Well, same thing with depression, anxiety. Hopelessness, poverty, sickness, disease, and anxiety. Enemies. Enemies. Let's treat it like enemies. Let's say some words. Say, listen up, enemies.
Listen up, enemies.
You're under my feet.
Out.
Out.
Now.
Now. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Now you're gone.
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 Most things are enemies. Don't let them in your house. Don't let them in your mind. They knock at the door. Don't let them on the porch. Don't just slam the door. Make them leave the property. Any hint of poverty, any hint of anxiety, you got to nail it quickly. Never be afraid of these things. I rebuke the sickness, disease, and the anxiety and the poverty. No poverty around here. Absolutely not. We have to tell people overseas that their condition is not much different than our condition. Because here we've got people worried about money that don't have enough. Over there they got people worried about money that don't have enough. Same conditions around the world. Has nothing to do with your government.
Amen.
Prosperity can occur here and it can occur in any other place where somebody believes God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lift your hands to Him. Father, we love You. We thank You, praise You. Thank You and praise You. Thank You and praise You. Come on, let's let the power of God flow through us, okay? Right here, the power of God's present. Right now, begin to thank Him. Expect your deliverance right now. Expect to sense Him right now. He'll set you free. He'll comfort you and let you know your miracle is here and done. Come on, receive it right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, no more. No more. No more concern. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I know last Wednesday everybody came to the altar. The power of God flowed and helped a bunch of people. Right now, the power of God's present everywhere. Come on, everybody right now, right everywhere. We've done enough. We've acted on our faith. Your muscle is stronger. And some of you got your miracle already. But I just want you to recall at home next month. This is what you do at home. You know, prayer books and scripture books on all the arenas of life aren't there for you to just go hopelessly read through them. No, they're there for you to use as a tool. You say them out loud with all your heart. You mean it when you say it. Rather than just try to get through the whole book, you go say and mean the few that you really expect. All right, praise the Lord. Is everybody's hope higher?
Yes.
Thank you for joining Pastors Chaz and Joni today from Houston Faith Church. If you're looking for a good home church in Houston, Texas, we'd like to invite you to be our guest anytime. What you'll find is the Houston Faith Church is highly committed to the Word of God, the love of God, and the Spirit-filled life and ministry that Jesus expects. We know that everyone wants to make a difference in this life, and that the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ is the main thing for all of us. You'll find your purpose here and grow strong in faith at Houston Faith Church. Find more faith-building resources on our YouTube channel or subscribe to our free audio podcast. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. See you soon.